2 Corinthians, chapter 13. We'll talk about our beliefs. What you believe. It's important what you believe. Different churches believe different things. One of these mornings, I'm not going to be here. But when I'm gone, I want you to be believing right. Because they're going to be people coming that wants to be taking this place here. Now, you don't want to get in the Tom, Dick, or Harry, so to speak. So we're going to be talking about some of our beliefs a little bit. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves, Paul said. Examine yourself. Whether you be in the faith, do you really know whether or not you're saved? Do you really believe you're saved? Better examine yourself. Because if you die without Christ, it's too late to remedy it. Prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. Only you will determine if you're saved or not. Not the preacher. Not somebody else. You determine whether you're saved or not. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you. You know Jesus Christ is living in you? Is he regulating your life? Is he controlling your life by his Spirit, by his Word? Paul said, examine ourselves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You don't want to be like Judas Iscariot. He was a disciple. It was assumed he was saved. But he wasn't. He never was saved. He never had been saved. He was just a disciple. And as we learn in our lessons in school, a disciple is just a learner. You can be a disciple of the Lord, just a learner, don't mean you're saved. You understand that? Talking about our beliefs today. The first thing I want to talk about is the Bible. You got a Bible this morning? You ought to have a Bible. You ought to have a Bible so you can mark it, make notes in it. Because it's been so helpful to go back and look at those places you marked. Be reminded there was something important there I need to remember. Talk about the inspiration of the Bible this morning. First of all, one of the subjects we'll be dealing with. The inspiration of the Bible. What do I mean, preacher? The Bible is inspired of God. It come from God. Here's an interesting, and this is a reason I want you to bring your Bible. I want you to go to First Psalms 138. I'll get it out in a minute. Psalm 138. I bet you didn't even know this is in the Bible. Psalm 138. Because it'll make you think when you look at this. And talking about inspiration now of the Bible. That it came from God. I want you to understand what the Bible says, how important God's Word is. This tells you how important God's Word is. Psalms 138. Everybody found it? Look down at verse 2. And the last statement of verse 2. For thou, God, hast magnified thy Word above thy name. Let that sink in. God's word is magnified even above his name. How can that be, preacher? You know what? Your word determines what kind of person you are. If I can't believe your word, you know, I'll be disappointed with you. God says in his word, he has magnified his word even above his name. Because his word is true, folks. His word is true. His word is a word you can believe. It's inspired of God. It came from God, as we will see. 2 Timothy 3:15, if you can't keep up with me, write it down. 2 Timothy 3:15 talks about the inspiration of the Bible. This is a book you can believe. You can put your total confidence in. It means what it says. It says what it means. It is literally true. Now, you may have some questions. That don't change the truth of it. It's still true whether you can accept it or not. That don't change it. It's the book you're going to be judged by one day. The Bible says all scripture. That means all and every book of the Bible. All 66 books. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God-breathed. It come from God. And is profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine there means teaching. This morning we had Sunday school where the teacher teaches the lesson, teaches about God's word, teaches about God. The word doctrine. Some people don't want to hear doctrine. If you don't want to hear doctrine, you're missing it. You got to know doctrine to know the truth. There's a lot of churches getting away from doctrine now. But in doctrine is important. You got to know the teachings of God's word. What it teaches. So you know how to regulate your life, live your life. And the first thing on the list I'm talking to you about is you got a reliable book you can get information from that's dependable because it is the word of God who cannot lie. Who thinks more of his word than he does of his name, as that scripture said. So it's profitable for doctrine. This book is good for teaching you how to live your life. A way to please God and for you to get the best life. And for me too. It goes on and says, for reproof. This book here will set us straight. It'll correct us. He says, for correction and for instruction in righteousness. In other words, it's telling us how to live a life to please God and a life where God can bless us. And it all came from God, this book. Do you really believe this book is God's word? Many atheists have went to this book to prove it's not true, and they've got converted. C.S. Lewis was one of them. Atheists, people that don't believe there's a God, but they get to this book to try to prove there was no God, and they get saved. That's the power of this book. What you believe concerning God's word is important. That's why you need to be reading it every day. That's why you need to be living by it. Because that's why God gave it to us. You think of the millions of people right now in this world that would give anything to have one of these books. There's countries today that won't let this book legally go into their country because they hate it. There's countries today where men and women are slipping this book into the people because if they did it openly, they'd be killed or imprisoned and persecuted. And you think in the past centuries, there was only a few copies of this book. And it was so few, they were only on the pulpit at the church. Nobody else had a copy. Think of how blessed you are. Think how blessed you are. How many copies do you have in your possession? I've got a number of copies of the Bible in different translations. But I always use the old King James. That's my Bible. But you can believe the Bible. You can live with the Bible. You can state your eternal destiny on what that book says. Because God gave it. God cannot lie. And God gave it because He loves us so much. He wants us to know about Him and His plan. Brother John just read the 12th chapter of Revelation. Satan's going to be cast down. I thought he was already down, somebody said. Yeah, he's going about seeking who may devour. But there's days coming, he's not going to be allowed to go into heaven to accuse the people anymore. He's going to be cast down. This will be in the tribulation time when, boy, all hell is breaking loose. Because Satan knows his time is about up. Hebrews 4:12 in your Bible. For the word of God is quick. It cuts. It's powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God cuts a going and a coming. The word of God will cut out sin or it'll condemn you. It's God's word. If you listen to this book here, God's word, it cuts sins out of your life and you'll be a holy person. You'll be a righteous person. You'll be a blessed person. You'll be a person with peace and meaning and purpose in your life if you let the word of God cut out sin and you live by the word of God. The word of God is powerful, quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit. It divides between the soul and the spirit. Boy, that's sharp, isn't it, brother? And of the joints and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12. That shows you man's a tripartite being. He's body, soul, and spirit. When you die, the body dies. The soul and the spirit don't die. And when a man or woman takes their own life because life is so hard, they think they're ending it all, they hadn't. They've only created more problems, eternal problems, if they are unsaved. Because the body only dies. But one day that body is even going to be brought back to life, saved and unsaved. You can't get around it. God's already stated in His Word what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. By the Word of God, the Bible says, by the Word of God, the universe was created. Now, you talk about how powerful the Word of God is, folks. There was a time there used to be nothing but God, just God, the triune God, no angels, no nothing. There wasn't even nothing, just God. And God spoke, and the universe sprang into existence. Just spoke, made it out of nothing. That's how powerful God is. That's how powerful God's word is. He's God, folks. I hate to use this word, but it's the only word this country boy can think about. How stupid for anybody to think they're going to get by God. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Men didn't just write this down because they didn't have nothing else to do. God used men. He used all Jews except possibly Luke. And he even could have been a Jew, but most scholars think Luke was a Gentile man, a doctor, a physician. That's kind of interesting because a doctor would talk about the birth of Jesus. How about that? Put that together. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit came upon these men in the past, certain individuals, about 40 that we know about, and they wrote down God's word for me and for you. What a God. What a God that wants us to know all about Him. And all of God's program is in this book. What's going to happen? And right now we're at the end of the church age, I believe. We're in chapter 3 of Revelation and the Laodicean church age when liberalism has took over into churches. That's where we're at chronologically. The next event's the rapture, and then the 7 years tribulation, and then a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and Him sitting on the throne over there in Jerusalem. So think about all the 6,000 years that have gone by. God's program is winding down, winding right along. He's outlined it in this book for us. The second thing I want to talk about, it's not only is the Bible the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is the center of this book. Amen. Jesus Christ was in the beginning. John tells us in the first chapter, He resided in the bosom of God. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The three are one. That's the Godhead. Each one of them have a distinct work. Ephesians chapter 1 talks about those distinct works. God planned our salvation. Jesus paid for our salvation. The Holy Spirit applies salvation. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us all that. Yet the three are one. And actually the three live in us, really. Once you get saved, they're inside of you, living with you, never leave you, never forsake you. And if we live right and committed to the Lord, we're aware that He is with us. He answers our prayers. He's encouraging us, comforts us, blesses us. He loves us. I want you to think about, you're so loved. Every one of you in this building here today, you're so loved. God let His Son die the most horrible death there's ever been. That's how much you're loved. Secondly, the next thing that's important for you to believe is there once was a man named Adam. He was the first man. He's the first man. He was innocent. That is, he had no sin. He had no sin nature. He was perfect in that he was innocent. But God was going to test him. you parents, you without realizing, you've tested your own children to see if they would mind you. God tested Adam. God said, Adam, all these trees with all these fruits, all this food is available. You can eat all you want, when you want, except for one tree. Leave that one tree alone. Because if you eat from that tree, Adam, you will die. God told Adam that. Then God put Adam to sleep. And God performed the first surgery and removed a rib and flesh and blood from his side. And the first woman came into existence. Adam was a unique person, wasn't he? From his side, she's equal to him. He's not over her. She's not over him. From his side to protect her, she's the weaker vessel. He's to protect her and care for her. They're to be one. God brought them together, married them in the garden. But then one Sunday afternoon, I guess, Adam was taking a nap. And Eve went out, was looking around. And a beautiful serpent spoke to her and began to taunt her and tell her God was holding out on them because he don't want you to eat from that tree because you'd be so smart. You'd be so wise. And she believed his lie. Adam would never have ate from that tree. But when that most beautiful woman came up to him who was his wife, he partook of that food. He ate. And when he did, he became a sinner. It didn't only affect Adam, it affected Eve, because she was now a sinner. It didn't stop there. It infected the entire universe. Do I need to repeat that? It affected the entire universe. Sin. That's what sin, the power of sin. Because they disobeyed God. And all the pain and the suffering they experienced for 900 years or so before they finally died. But Adam, who was perfect in every respect, innocent from any sin, he had no tendency either way to sin. But Eve presented him that fruit, and he ate. Why? I can't explain. Maybe he was afraid he'd lose her, and he didn't want to be alone. I don't know. Only God knows that. All we know is they both ate. They disobeyed God. They became sinners, and this is what happened after that. All their children were sinners, and then their children were sinners. And it's came down to every single one of us is in that race of sinners. Makes no difference who you are, where you live at, what time frame you live. Every person that's ever come into the world is a sinner, separated from God, and you can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. You're separated from God. You can no longer live in God's presence. But God took it upon himself to remedy it. That's why we have what we know as the Savior. Maybe sometime later we'll reach that point, but I don't think I'll have time today. So Adam brought sin into the world. The Bible says in Genesis 2:16 and 17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest of all thereof thou shalt surely die. He died spiritually that very moment, became separated from God, became a sinner right then. And then death entered into his body, and over time he would finally physically die. Adam may have been the most intelligent man to have ever lived. Think of how he named every animal that there is. He never went to school. He never had a teacher. Now, he was an intelligent being. When he seen that elephant, he said, "That's an elephant." When he seen that dog, he said, "That's a dog." And that's a meow. That's a cat. He was an intelligent. I believe in the first century when people come along, there were most greatly more intelligent than anybody today. I think sin has affected the thinking process, the intelligence of man. Because of Adam's sin, man is a totally depraved creature. Totally depraved in every respect, body, soul, and mind. Total. You can't change it. Education won't change it. Reformation won't change it. Religion won't change it. God has said in his word in the Old and in the New Testament, there is none good, not even one. Now, I can say this morning, I believe you're good. You are good as humans. But as it relates to God, we're all sinners, none good. None of us qualify to go to heaven because of our goodness, because we're all sinners. And God is infinitely holy and righteous. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, Adam is the one man responsible for sin. Oh yes, his wife led him to it. But it was Adam that made that decision. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. The reason people die, they're a sinner. Mr. Chavis said this morning about he was seeing all these people that there was evidence of death in their families. Two or three of them. You know why they died? They're sinners. They might be saved sinners. I don't know about that. But God is saving sinners through Jesus Christ. Y'all understand what I'm saying today? You can't do anything to get right with God. But God has did something so you can get right with God. By providing Jesus Christ. Oh, the people today, all over this world who think that they're living in such a way God's surely going to accept them. God's surely going to let me go to heaven. I'm as good as them people down at the church. Yeah, they are. Some might be even better, morally. But that won't get them to heaven. To be a candidate for heaven, you got to be blood washed. Got to be blood washed, and only with the blood of Jesus Christ. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's possible only by faith, by believing. God's got it down. You got to believe in my Son. Because you know you're a sinner and you need forgiveness. Total depravity. Man cannot do anything to remedy his condition. Every person came from the loins of Adam, a sinner, all of us. Think of the billions of people that have come from Adam and Eve. The billions of people. There's over 7.5 billion in the world right now. But think about 6,000 years before of all the billions of people. Jesus said most of them would be lost. In Romans 5:17-18, if by one man offense death reigned by one, therefore as the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Because of Adam's sin, all of us are condemned. That's why you people everywhere need to hear the gospel, because the gospel alone is the power of salvation unto them that believe, the Bible says. Only the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that's the gospel. You can't be saved any other way except by the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why church is so important. To remind us of who we are. We're sinners. And hearing God's word each week and in Bible study and prayer meeting reminds us of our need for the word of God and of fellowship with the Lord and the need of each other's faith and action to encourage us. Man is totally depraved in body, soul, and spirit, and nothing man can do will change that. Oh, there's a lot of people who don't believe that. That's all right. They'll find out. The next thing I want to talk about is important about our belief is the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. It's important you believe in the virgin birth. What's so important about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ? Because it's only through the virgin birth of Jesus Christ that Christ came into the world without a sin nature. I hope you grasp that. All of us come into the world with a sin nature from our parents. But Jesus Christ, his Father, was the Holy Spirit. He had no sin. The Bible says in Isaiah 14:7-14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. Isaiah 700 years before Christ was born said a virgin, this is the sign, a virgin, an unmarried woman who never knew a man, was going to have a child. She conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ was God coming into the world. He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit. That's important, folks. The virgin birth. Luke 1:30-32. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus Christ is going to be the ruler over in Jerusalem during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Physically ruling and reigning for 1,000 years there. He's the same one that's coming before then and get us through the rapture that we will be with him, we that believe in him. The lineage of Jesus was from holy God and not from sinful man. God used the womb of a virgin, but the Holy Spirit caused her to conceive. I believe that. I believe that. Jesus was without sin. Nobody could find anything he did wrong. The devil did his best for 40 days in the wilderness and couldn't get him to sin. That was just one attempt. Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to do what I wanted to do. I came to do what my Father wanted me to do. Boy, now that's surrender, isn't it, Brother Chavis? Isn't that surrender?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's where we need to be trying to go. Surrender to do the will of the Lord.
Amen.
To live the way the Lord wants us to live.
Yes.
And it's not easy because we got this sin baggage that we deal with. And if you don't stay in the Word and you don't stay in Christian fellowship, you'll be off in left field. Displeasing the Lord. You'll be weak in the faith. And at the same time, you'll be losing rewards when you stand at the judgment. And you'll be ashamed when you stand at the judgment, according to the Bible. I believe the Bible. Amen. Jesus was God in the human body. I tell you what, I lay in the bed at night and I think about that. I drive down the highway and I think about that. That Jesus Christ, a human just like us, was walking around Galilee and Jerusalem at times and other places at times. And he was God Almighty himself in a body. The one that spoke and everything come into existence out of nothing. Whew, what a God. And I'm going to get to live with him. Forever. It ain't going to be a vacation time. It's going to be forever. Amen. I'm ready to go now. How about y'all? Y'all ready to go now? Woo. Yeah, what a Savior. Quickly, let me do one more. I got a bunch I could do. But some beliefs that we need to hold on to. We need to get them down in our spirit, in our heart, in our mind, and live by these things. These are truths that are important. They're the most important thing in the world. Redemption through the blood of Jesus only. You're not saved by coming to church, joining the church, and being baptized. It isn't worth a hill of beans. You got to be born again, Jesus said. Hey, the God-man said you got to be born again. And there's not anything you can hide from. He knows whether or not you are born again. He's looking at your heart right now. He knows your intentions right now. He knows how surrendered you are right now. You don't have any secrets hid from him. You're as open to him as this book is before me. He's awesome. But at the same time, he's the most loving being that there is. He is love. God is love, folks. What an environment we're going to live in one day forever. Love, like Webster's dictionary can't describe it. Amen. Amen. Redemption through the blood. Salvation is for all sinners. It's offered to all sinners. God's offered it to everybody. And God is charging me and you as believers in Jesus Christ to get this word out. That's the reason I want the radio stations and the TV and the newsletter and everything we can to do to get it out. Keep hammering it. First Peter, turn in your Bible, First Peter right quick. The first chapter. And I want you to listen to what God says in his word. Use the Apostle Peter to write this down for us. 1 Peter 1, beginning at verse 18. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not saved by corruptible things like silver and gold. Well, we think that's the best thing in the world, ain't it? But I got a lot of silver and a lot of gold. Hey, folks, that's trash to God. It's trash to God. It won't buy you peace. It won't buy you salvation. It won't buy you forgiveness. No matter how much you have. Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, had more money than anybody has ever had. And at the end of the day, he said it was all vanity. All vanity, Brother Chavis. It didn't give him peace. Peter says, "For your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but you are saved or redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It took the blood of God's perfect, holy, righteous Son dying on a cross for me to be saved. I have to believe that. Jesus Christ died on a cross, poured out His blood, taking my place because I'm the sinner He was dying for. He was innocent. He never did any wrong. He never broke the law of God. He had fulfilled the law of God. But He said, "Father, I'll take their place. I'll pay their debt. That whoever will believe in me would have everlasting life." Isn't that amazing, folks? Isn't that amazing, folks? Matthew 28:26, "For this is the blood of my New Testament," Jesus said when He instituted communion, "which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Jesus said, "I shed my blood to get rid of your sin." That's the only thing to get rid of. Did you know, me and you that's saved today, we're just as saved as Jesus is. Did you know that? We're going to live with Jesus just as long as Jesus lives. And He's God. Because we're that saved. We're that saved. We've been washed in the blood. We've been cleansed. We've been made acceptable. Jesus said, when He held up that little fruit of the vine, "This represents my blood that's shed for the remission of sin." And by faith, by believing that, by accepting that, I'm saved by faith. God made it so everybody everywhere can be saved just by believing. Just by believing. Romans 5:9, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we are as if we've never even ever sinned." That's the power of the blood and the cleansing of the blood. It's like we've never sinned against God now. Isn't that something? Amen. I'm just telling you what the book says. Amen. Justified means as if you have never ever sinned. And now, God don't even look like at us as a sinner anymore. He don't even deal with us as sinners anymore. God's dealing with us as His children. We're the children of God. Did you know? Look at your neighbor sitting side of you, brother, sister. Say, "I'm one of God's children." Amen? I'm one of God's children. Amen? Me too. We're God's children now. We're in God's family now. We're going to live with God forever. Amen. And He's leaving us here right now to keep telling others about it. To keep getting the word out so others will know about it. That's why He's left us here since He saved us. We're justified by His blood. And we listen to this next statement. Listen to this. Are you ready for this? This is just as good. Same verse, Romans 5:9. "We shall be saved from wrath through Him." We're not going to receive any wrath from God, but the sinner man, the sinner woman, will experience the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? Being separated from God. Being separated. That's going to be worse than the lake of fire. Did y'all know that? Did you know what's worse than the lake of fire? It's being separated from God. Because you're separated from life. It's going to be horrible, folks. I'll close there for today. I'm going to tell you some more another time about some things you need to believe. And you, if you have someone that's going to be teaching you or preaching to you, you make sure they believe what we're telling you, that this old book is God's Word. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ will make you acceptable to God. You got to be born again. And every person everywhere needs to be born again. Loving God, thank you for letting me stand here today before your people, Lord. Lord, I hope everybody in here is saved. Only you know the heart of every person, Lord. Lord, Lord, help us to grow closer to you. Help us to love you more. Help us to be more usable, Lord. Let us be more usable, Lord. Lord, help us exalt your name, Lord. Lord, that others might know of your goodness, mercy, and grace, Father. We pray in the precious saving name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. At this time, our altar is open for you to come and talk to the Father. Come and talk to him about what he's done for you.